o'clock hour will be in town.
Begins now. Before we can get to Rob Domofsky from his palatial office at Lambeau Field, it's time for the weekend preview.
Made some special music for this week's weekend preview because I wanted to make sure we were royalty free.
Jesse, I'm nervous.
What?
I think I'm going to go really big with the Iron Jock number today, and I'm nervous how you're going to react.
Are you, though?
No, I am. Because I want to be thoughtful about
then it. Then don't do it.
Well, but I... It's in my
head,
man.
What's making you do it?
The trivia we just did.
By the way, on the Carbless ESPN Wisconsin talk and text line, Liz is more. Several people sharing Andy and Helen were the couple. Barney and Thelma Lou were the two who were
Barney
together.
Barney and Thelma Lou.
Yeah.
Although it sounds like from Jason's point of view, there was a little bit of everybody in Thelma Lou.
Oh, my God.
That was even worse than what I said right there, by the way.
Five games on the football docket this weekend. Which one are you most looking forward to watching besides the Green Bay Packers and the Denver Broncos?
Is Andy Griffith on? Check out Thelma Lou.
Can we move on from Thelma Lou, please?
Yeah, I think we can. Yes.
Army-Navy, 2 o'clock on Saturday on CBS, the annual traditional meeting between those two rivals, Army and Navy, 2 o'clock Saturday. Then the NFL slate on Sunday, Browns-Bears, noon on Fox. Bills-Patriots, noon on CBS. And both networks have 325 games this weekend. So the Packers and Broncos, 325 on CBS with Nance and Romo. Big game Burkhart and Brady and maybe Dean Blandino. Going to be calling Lions-Rams over Fox, which is a big one relative to the Green Bay Packers. Might need a 2-TV setup for many of us this weekend. Your Sunday night game is a snoozer. Vikings-Cowboys, 7:20 on Sunday night.
I guess I don't understand the whole blocking. Unless you're texting the wrong person, why would the Rams and Lions game and or Green Bay Denver not be the Sunday night game this week? Like, those are obviously better matchups and sexier. Now they're going to both be on. I want to watch the Lions and Rams play. That game has huge implications for the G&G, and I'm not going to be able to because the G&G is playing.
Who do we want to win that game?
Lions.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, no, I told you that earlier in the week.
I'm just making sure we're all on the same page on it.
And then they get the Amazon game next week, the biggest game in the NFC all year. Going to be Seahawks-Rams on a Thursday, throwback Thursday. Oh, baby, let's go. Yeah, Lions-Rams, Jesse, for me, it's a no-brainer.
Seems like a slam dunk, yeah.
I'm shocked that it's played at that time. Like, put it on. What is NBC doing? Throw it on Peacock. I might even go get Peacock. That's how good that game's going to be.
You will not.
No, I wouldn't. Get it for Packers-Ravens.
I wouldn't, but I'm being hyperbolic. That's how much
I...
Oh,
okay.
Thank you.
Yeah,
Think that is that's an important game, and I think most of us are intrigued by how that game shakes out. It's kind of Detroit's Custer. Like, this is the Lions' last stand. They need this game.
On the road at L.A.
Yeah, it's going to be tough slow.
3:25 starts.
There'll be plenty of Honolulu Blue out there. You best believe that.
Is Army-Navy still fun? Do you like Army-Navy?
I'd love to go to the game. I'm not going to lie to you. I don't watch that one all that often. I think it would be an awesome atmosphere to be at, and I respect the heck out of the guys that do that.
Sure.
Oh, God.
No doubt. Thank you for your service, literally.
All the training, and then they still do football, and oh, my God, I can't even imagine. For everybody that complains about, like, having to pick up a second shift for a volleyball producer or doing an extra Wildy and Tausch digi only, just think to what those guys are doing, you know? Not putting any names to anything, but that's just, you know what I mean, Jimmy?
A lot of bygoning on the program today.
You know what I mean, Jimmy Halpert or Jesse Nelson?
How am I taking strays looking ahead to the Army-Navy game?
I didn't say you're taking strays. Don't take everything so personal.
Oh, right.
Tough talking about Pablo. I was talking about Pablo.
Why is he catching that straight up?
I don't know.
Bills Patriots sneaky good game too though.
Nah, Patriots are winning the division either way. Not that big.
Isn't it a Custer?
It'll be a fun game.
Isn't it kind of a Custer for the Bills?
No, I think Buffalo still gets in the playoffs as a 5 or a 6 seed. So I don't think so.
Okay.
Could I make a prediction?
Sure.
The Lions and Bears play in Week 18.
Sunday night game.
Sunday night to get into the playoffs as the 7 seed.
I hope so. That'd be great news for us if that is indeed the case.
It's going to be my official lock it in prediction.
That's a great take, Jesse. Well executed.
Thank you.
I wouldn't be surprised. Pittsburgh, Baltimore for the division championship, though.
I was going to. And another good one.
Tampa, Carolina, I think, is week 18 also, right?
Heads wow, Carolina, tails from. Tampa Bay. Am I right? That's probably not royalty free, though.
Do you think?
Well, that version would be.
Do you think they would, if the Packers win and they get the 1 seed, would they put the Packers Vikings game on Saturday and they'd play
sure.
3 Saturdays in a row?
I think that'd be great for everybody. We love Saturday football. We've come to
would
terms
we,
with.
Would we know in time for them to do that, though?
Yeah, you could do it the week before.
No. Would we know that they're going to get the number one seed?
No.
In their position?
No, they'll have to win out. Saying. They'll have to win that game to be the 1 seed.
Right.
But if there's nothing else
on it. Just want to make
sure
we're on the same page.
You want to make sure that lines up because you don't want anybody finding something out and then they don't have to empty their bucket to play.
Right.
So, no, Jesse, that's not going to happen, Cap'n, unless both of those West teams kind of fall apart or the G&G falls apart.
Well, hopefully not because they are 1 win away from you guys cashing in your over on 9.5 wins at Hard Rock Casino Rockford.
Oh, that money's spent already. That's in the bank. You can take that. We're still doing take it to the bank?
It's been a while since we've played.
It is not spent. I have it right here. I have all 3 slips. They're good to go.
You don't get hyperbole, do you, Jess? You don't get it. But you do get Hard Rock Casino Rockford. I've ridden down with Jell. 60 minutes from the greater Matt. Even with Jesse driving, it's about 60 minutes to the Hard Rock Casino Rockford. Great table games. UU Noodle Bar. Great entertainment. Slots. They got every great sports book Jesse and I are going to clean up on. And a great high limit room. We're elevating the high limit room experience to deliver premium table games that are tailored for discerning players. Enhanced game rules, blackjack where the dealer stands on soft 17. You can enjoy the better odds, faster play, and the kind of authentic high-limit action that sets Hard Rock Casino Rockford apart. Your next hand could be your best yet. Visit the High Limit Room at Hard Rock Casino Rockford right off of I-90 on your way down to Rockford. Rediscover your game on your terms, in your rhythm, and with your edge.
God, that's, you do that so well.
Thanks.
You're very good at what you do.
It's about decrescendoing to give a guy an idea. Mm-hmm. Like my buddy that I hosted with a couple weeks ago. A decrescendo,
exactly.
And I could never tell when he was.
Confidence is very sexy, don't you think?
Whose name you still don't know. His name could have been Jack Palance, for all you know. Another guy who's good at what he does, Rob Domofsky. He joins us next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
You know what that music means. It means it doesn't cost us anything to play this, and we're able to be on Spotify and YouTube. And it means it's time for Rob Domofsky from ESPN.com. Rob, good morning. How are you?
I'm good, guys. How are you?
Good. What'd you think of Jeff Hafley's review of Rashawn Gary yesterday?
Oh, wow. We're going right to the heavy-hitting questions.
Indeed.
Boy, that was a lukewarm defense of him, I thought. I don't know if you guys played the audio or discussed. Okay, yeah, so we don't have to rehash that. I thought it was a lukewarm, somewhat excuse laden. Laden's probably too strong of a word. I do think it's always good to get the perspective of the guy, you know, who knows what is supposed to happen on every play, right? And then we obviously can't know that. So I do think we have to give Rashawn a little bit of credit or benefit of the doubt. I mean, I believe part of the quote was something to the effect of he's playing the run as well as anybody or as well as he ever has or something to that effect. Mm-hmm. I do think that maybe, you know, just the people who just look at the sack numbers, you know, this is a little bit more of a fair and balanced look. But I still think when, you know, and I hate to – shouldn't do this because I criticize people for doing it. So I'm just going to make this point, not saying I agree with it. But certain players are, because of their salaries, are expected to do more. and I guess that's a fair – I guess it's fair, although I kind of hate that argument. So I'm a little bit – I realize I'd be a little bit wishy-washy on that one.
No, because, I mean, what does it matter, right? Doesn't matter what people make, Rob.
That's what I said. I did
Versace,
say
it doesn't matter what he makes.
Right here, Rob, on this program.
Rob, why do you think – I think one of the things that – I don't know if anybody's written this or if anybody's planning on it, but the lack of big plays that this defense has given up, especially in the run. We saw it again with the Bears. Why is that the case? Or do you defer that's not the case?
Yeah, I did that in something this week. I can't remember. Might have been a TV hit. Might have been written. But, you know, out of that game, going into the game, the Bears last week, they had 54 explosive runs, including six of them the previous game against the Eagles. They had zero against the Packers. Like, I got into it with Homer. I'm sure you guys have seen or played the Homer clip where he said last week's second half was embarrassing from a defensive standpoint.
Yeah, and I heard it.
I went right at him with that stat, Tausch. You know, I went right at him. I mean, to me, like, you know, you're not going to play perfect on every single series. You're going to give stuff up. Like, that is the truth. That is reality. But when you take a team that had 54 explosive runs through what would it have been 12 games, and you allow zero, like, you got to tip your hat, man. You got to give them credit. I think that is that's a real deal right there.
Why is it, Rob? Is it the safeties? Like, what would you say if you had a pinpoint? Well, why are we not giving up big plays?
So I think your point about that, Tausch, is it's probably a big part of the safety is probably a big part of it. The linebackers, what it tells you is the guys up front are doing their job, okay, and then it allows the second level guys to fill and make plays. So I don't want to just say, oh, it's the safeties, because without the guys up front doing what they're supposed to be doing, you know, it doesn't allow those guys to free flow in. But you talk about, I mean, Evan Williams and Xavier McKinney. McKinney hasn't made the takeaway plays like he did last year. But I don't know if you will find two better safeties right now as a combination on one team than those two. I mean, I don't watch enough, you know, of every team to know what every safety combination is. But I have a hard time – you'd have a hard time convincing me that there's many better than those two.
No, Ben Johnson said it last week. And obviously the results dictated that again. We talked a little bit about Josh Jacobs. What's your anticipation? Is he going to play? Is it going to be limited?
Yeah.
What are you getting kind of the vibe around Lambeau?
I mean, I'm sensing it's probably less than 50-50 that he plays, Tausch. That's my – I mean, just, you know, he's a fairly honest guy with us, I think. And he, you know, he didn't sugarcoat it or didn't say, you know, I'm definitely playing. He explained that it's a stiffness and a soreness that gets worse as the game goes on. And I mean, he said it, you know, that on that third and two run where he went for 21 yards. He's like, I felt it there, and it was bad. It was swollen. I do think it's a good sign that they went in and did another scan on Monday, and it didn't show anything worse than just the swelling and the fluid. But that can be problematic. And part of me wonders, Tausch, is it's just, and maybe you have more experience with this than we do, but like certain days you wake up and it feels better, and other days you wake up and it's just stiff and swollen. Like, so I wonder if it's just going to be sort of a, how do I feel on Sunday? You know, he may feel good today, may not feel good tomorrow, may feel good Sunday. So that's sort of my anticipation with this, is it's kind of just how it feels, how it's swollen, what kind of mobility he has when he wakes up in Denver on Sunday.
Rob, we were both there talking to him yesterday, and he had said a week earlier, I'm not going to miss practice. I'm not going to change the way I play. Now he missed two practices. I'm guessing he'll go out. I'm guessing you'll go out there and he'll probably do something today, right? Like individual drills or something.
Well, it's hard. Yeah, it's hard to know because all we see today is stretch on Friday. So, not to interrupt, but like the last 2 days when we've been in there for stretch, he's just been riding the bike, and then he has not jumped into the individual drills. Now, if he's in the stretch line, that maybe is a sign that he's going to do a little bit more today.
So the question I have is, this isn't, hey, we think we can beat the Vikings without Josh Jacobs.
No.
This and because of how the schedule falls, this is, even though it's out of the division and out of the conference, it's an important game. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I'm very curious to see how they handle him.
Yeah, and here's the thing, Jace. Like, you know, it's now the time of the season that you have to scoreboard watch a little bit too. And you know, if the Packers go out to Denver and lose, and the Bears play Cleveland. Now we all saw Cleveland is capable of beating these guys.
Sure.
But if that happens this week, we're right back in the same situation we were in the past week going into next week's Saturday game in Chicago. Like, they're right back where we started. And not to say that win over the Bears wouldn't mean anything, but it means a little bit less. It's important, obviously, that they got it. But, you know, if they lose this week and the Bears win, which I expect that they will, then, you know, now we're in for, you know, a fight again. And it's even more important. Whereas if you both win, you know, you have a little bit of leeway, a little bit more leeway going in the final 2 weeks of the season.
Rob Domofsky of ESPN.com joins us, and you can read his piece today on ESPN.com. And he drops a Goldilocks and the Three Bears reference. Ooh. In his lead.
Wow.
Porridge. Is that the porridge?
James, I very rarely, like, get writer's block or have trouble coming up with something. And I knew what I wanted to do with that story about how much Jordan has improved his accuracy on deep balls. And I don't just mean, you know, this isn't just the go routes, chuck it, and hope. I'm talking about, you know, the intermediate long stuff. He's gotten so much better at. But I struggled to come up with a lead. Taush, I fancy myself as a pretty good reporter, but I'm not the writer, the wordsmith that Jason is. So I think the lead on this was lame, but I couldn't come up with anything else.
Yeah, no, Jason said disagree. The same thing.
I didn't. So I liked it. No, I got a kick did. Out of it. I enjoyed it. Don't put words in my mouth. So here's my question. The premise, because I heard you asking the questions this week about this. Give people an idea of what inspired this and kind of what you found so they'll go read it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like, it's a little bit, obviously, based on the two long touchdowns that he had this week, and then the previous week in Detroit, he had two long ones. Going into the Detroit game, he had zero touchdowns on the season on throws of 20 yards or more, and he has had two of them in back-to-back games. And I wanted to look at if that was, you know, sort of, you know, just those were four just good plays, or if that was emblematic that they've hit on more throws. And obviously this will, you know, not come as a huge surprise, but the return of Christian Watson, you know, has played a huge part of it, although not all of those throws were to Christian Watson. You know, but his accuracy on those throws, his completion percentage has been so much higher this year and even higher on the, you know, since week eight when Watson came back. But they've had 13 passes that traveled 20 completions.
Hello.
Sorry. 13 completions of 20 yards or more since Watson's come back, and it's been to like six or seven different guys. Now, Watson has four or five of them, but everybody has one of them. Even Matthew Golden had one, and we haven't heard much from him lately. So it's it's an interesting look at sort of how Jordan has improved as he's gone along. His numbers are even better on the deep throws than they were during that great stretch of 2023 when he was just unreal down the final eight games. And the off-target percentage, again, I don't know how they judge this, but it's an NFL next-gen thing. His off-target percentage went from like 34% off-target before Watson came back to 19% since Watson's been here, which is that's a big difference.
So, and I would, on the flip side of your story, I also think that you have to feel good about the fact that they also had a successful play where he got the ball out of his hand, and I think Watson caught the ball 6 yards downfield and then took it the rest of the way.
And went 21.6 miles an hour, which was the fastest Packers ball carrier since Watson did it 2 years ago on a run. I believe was it against the Bears where he had that touchdown run, and he was 21.7 on that one. So, I mean, not just the fastest for Watson, but the fastest of any Packer in 2 years.
So that leads to my question. And again, you were there in Denver. I was there because I was back when I traveled when Greg Jennings had the touchdown, the only time they've won in Denver. But you were also there when they went out there in like 15, I think it was, and Aaron Rodgers finished with 77 passing yards. Bulaga brought up that game. That was ugly against Peyton Manning. So I don't know what's going to happen on Sunday because this is a legit defense that they're going to be facing. We've heard it all week. But do you feel like the Packers' offense is in the best place it's been, obviously without Tucker Kraft? And what does that make you think about them moving forward, heading toward the playoffs?
Yeah, and here's what I think you would probably like or should like about the Packers and this matchup. Denver's defense is obviously, you know, we talk about the yardage totals, the pressures and the sacks they get. But here's why the matchup could be favorable to the Packers in this sense, because the Broncos play more man coverage than anyone in the league. They're man 55% of the time, according to the ESPN numbers. And Jordan Love has like the third or fourth best passer rating or QBR against man coverage of any quarterback in the league this season. So that would tell you that, you know, the Broncos, they may be really good at what they do, but Jordan Love's really good against the types of things that they do. So I do think that's a good sign for the way they might be able to attack the Broncos, even though that defense is outstanding. Jordan Love's really good against man coverage.
Yeah, if they can protect and do that, that's going to be that's what this game's going to come down to, right?
Yeah, but don't you think the offensive line the last 3 or 4 or 5 weeks has maybe been as good as it's been all year? And obviously it's not just the offensive line, but it's the tight ends and the running. But there's been some great blitz pickups this year. So I think that pass blocking unit has probably found its stride a little bit.
So, Rob, what do you think? What do you think happens on Sunday?
I've tried to get out of the prediction business.
I know you have. That's why I asked you.
Because it comes back to bite me. But, you know, the thing that I think about the Broncos is when you've won 10 games in a row, and that's twice as long as the current next longest active winning streak. I think the Texans have won 5 in a row. The Packers are next with 4. Like, that's a real thing. Like, 10 in a row, you whether you're winning close games or you're blowing people out, you think you can win, right? You walk into the stadium pretty confident. I think that's worth a couple of points. I do think that Packers have a really good shot for all the reasons that we talked about. But I think this is probably their hardest game to date this season. So it's a cop-out answer. I guess I think it's a little bit of a 50-50 game. I'm not saying, you know, the Packers can't win. I think it's just going to be they're going to have to play their best game.
No doubt.
Rob, we will let you get ready for Matt LaFleur at the podium. Safe travels to I'll see you a little bit later this afternoon, so I guess I don't have to say that. But make sure you prepare for the altitude. I hear it's a factor for beat writers
Josh
as well.
Josh Jacobs had a great point about it. I think, I don't know if you asked the question or someone did, that having obviously played in that division, he said the most important thing is to get a strong pregame workout so you can get right to your second wind. And I remember from when I used to ski out there, like that first half a day skiing, your lungs feel different. And I'm obviously not the finely tuned athlete, but I was a pretty fair skier in my day and was a little bit reckless in the days that we didn't even wear helmets back then skiing. And you could feel it that first half of the day. And so I thought Josh Jacobs' point about, you got to really go hard in pregame so that you get that segment of it out of the way, and you get your second win basically when the game starts.
How have I known you for 30 years and I didn't know you were a big skier?
I was as into skiing in my late teens and 20s as I am now about golf. Like, I had all the ski magazines, would watch those Warren Miller ski films. My spring break trips in high school and college were all ski trips. I was hardcore into skiing, and then got into golf after that. So, see, you learn something every day.
God, and I thought just knowing that you'd been a bat boy for the Chicago White Sox was the most important.
If I didn't get a job out of college, I was going to move to Colorado and just like be a ski bum or a ski patrol guy for as long as I could. But unfortunately, I got a job right away and never did it.
They would make so much fun of me if I compared Josh Jacobs to me bowling or anything like that. I can't believe you're just gonna get away with saying, "Oh, it's like when I went skiing out in Colorado."
You bowl out there at the altitude.
I've never had to battle the altitude bowling, but I'm sure it would be a factor if it ever came to it.
The ball
yes.
probably travels faster or goes farther or something, right?
In the oil altitude. Breaks down at a different rate. Yeah,
is that what it is? Okay.
Well, Rob, you won't be able to ski. You won't have time, but you will enjoy 62 degrees for kickoff when we're here in the sub-zero temperatures. Yeah. Thanks. We'll see you later today.
All right. Have a good one. We'll be seeing you.
That is Rob Domofsky of ESPN.com. You can read his story about Jordan Love's accuracy on down-the-field throws on ESPN.com. Tausch, are you a big skier? Do you have a lot of skiing in your history?
I've never skied. I'm going to tell you this. I don't have a ton of regrets. That's one thing. I wish I had skied because my kids ski now. I wish my knee. There are a lot of things you can wish in one hand and hope in the other and poop in the other and whatever it is.
Indeed.
That sure. is one thing that I wish I had done because skiing is awesome. It's everything you'd want it to be. And unfortunately, it's never been part of my repertoire. And that irritates me, but that's life.
Does Iron Jock make ski gear? Because I bet it would be high quality, keep you warm and stretchy while you're going down the mountain.
No doubt. If you're looking for the perfect holiday gift or you just want to upgrade your own gear, ski gear, whatever it might be, you need to check out this great holiday sale going on right now at Iron Jock. You know, I'm a big believer in their performance apparel. It's tough. It's comfortable. And thanks to their exclusive Silver Ion technology, it actually fights odor, which, let's be honest, we all appreciate during the holiday season. Right now, you'll find great deals across their entire lineup, hoodies and tees and shorts and more. Don't wait. Stock up for the holidays and save big at ironjock.com. That's ironjock.com. Jesse, are we giving away a tumbler today or not?
We are. Let's do a tumbler.
Oh, boy. Gosh. Here's what I'm thinking, and tell me I'm crazy. We're going to set a record today. Are we all right doing that, or is it going to be too much?
You do whatever you want to do, whatever your heart
Caller
desires.
Caller 207, Are because the last me? Time, well, the last time we won was 2007 out there. Your trivia question, I'm not going to go crazy and go 2007. I avoided a zero and put 207. I didn't feel I was nervous about it, but that's what I feel like. If that's crazy, so be it. But Caller 207 will win an Iron Jock tumbler today. Again, 844-770-3776. Caller 207 to win an Iron Jock tumbler. I'll tell you what, I got mine, and it is worth it. It is a beautiful thing. Caller 207 at 844-770-3776. Jerk store, Jason. Was that jerk store? Because I wasn't trying.
It is undeniably jerk store. Remember, the record... The official record, because he did not get the last 200 and whatever one done before the start of the next segment. Riley Yauch did 140.
Yeah.
For your number that you were given when you arrived on campus as a Wisconsin Badger.
Yep,
and he thought he could have gotten 10 more in the break. Yeah. I don't think we should surpass any projection of what you can get done in a 4.5 minute commercial break.
Well,
and Jesse's not even getting a head start right now.
Here's the deal. I saw Riley at the company Christmas party last night, holiday party.
Did you ask him about that whole thing?
I think Riley said he'd help out. So there we go. In fairness, it's Jesse's fault. 2007. I wasn't going to go 702.
Jesse's, in
I,
no
I
way.
I could go 702, and I couldn't go 2007. That's in crazy.
In no way is it Jesse's fault. You could have done 82 for the 82-yard touchdown pass that won the game.
I could have.
That would have given streamers a chance, but you didn't. All right, caller 207. Not only good luck to you as the callers, but more importantly, good luck. Good luck to Jesse and our friends at Iron Jock. More next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com.
Congratulations to Jesse Nelson, who against all odds sets a new league record for taking Iron Jock calls and getting them done. Because the other time we did this one, it was like 225 or whatever you did. You didn't get it done in the break. And if you don't get it done in the break, doesn't count.
No, we didn't. Did we ever go that high? This is the new record, right?
No, you did go over. It was like 225.
You did like 240 with Justin when we were going to Justin Garcia.
Yeah, that's true.
Now I didn't get the information yet. So
you've got your caller.
We have our winner on the line. Yeah. So
congratulations.
Jesse, I'm going to tell you this. So Riley Yauch is a young whippersnapper, right? He's got the enthusiasm. He brings it. I'm starting to question Riley. He seemed like 150 was his max. And Jesse is blowing by it. Here's the old veteran that's just saying, I don't want to do
old
this.
Old war horse.
But I just am so good that I can still do it, and I'm not going to make it a big deal. He's like the – what's the dude that came out in Major League and pitched – you know, he Vaseline'd it up.
Eddie Harris. Yeah, Eddie Harris. Vaseline ball. KY ball hit the short.
He's Eddie Harris. He's going to find a way. He ain't going to be real happy about it, but he's going to grease himself up, and he's going to go get this thing done. And he did it.
He also believes he could play second base for a full inning for the Madison Mallards.
That's very true.
We'd be fine for one inning, yeah.
Dude, I want to see you turn a double play ball at second base for the Madison Mallards. So we'll keep working on that, along with your 300 bowling adventure when your arm is going to fall off. So congratulations to whoever our nameless winner is, who Jesse will find out about next. Riley is already eager to fill in for Jesse. So Jesse, I'm sure you have some days off coming. Make sure one of them's on an iron job.
Riley might get that request sooner than he thinks, depending on how some things shake out next week. So we'll see what happens. Yeah.
Well, you've been on a long stretch of being on the show, so it's about time. Much like it's time for the Broncos to lose a game. All right, we need to get to our Steinhoffel Sleepers of the Week coming up. I need to remind you that time is running out on our Jingle for Your Kringle content.
Whoa.
The deadline, today is Friday. The deadline is Sunday.
Sunday, Sunday, Sunday.
Good reference.
Thanks.
From The Simpsons. We've gotten a bunch of entries. My friend John Kerry, the father figure of mine that I love dearly, even submitted one to me that I don't think he was expecting to get into the contest, but now I'm going to submit it for him at jingleforyourkringle.com. He's eligible. He's not an employee. I won't be able to judge his because I'll be biased, but you can get in on this and you can win Kringle for a year from Racine Danish Kringle. All you got to do is go to the website, jingleforyourkringle.com, upload your jingle, 60 seconds or less. Include their signature phrase. It's not just a treat. It's a tradition in your song, and then you're entered. And you can win Kringle for a year. It's one of our favorite things we do every holiday season. It'll be your chance to win from Racine Danish Kringle and ESPN Wisconsin. And if you want to celebrate the holidays with Racine Danish Kringle but you don't want to sing, it's easy. Make the call to them, 800-4-DANISH, or go to Kringle.com. Place your order, that peppermint brownie Kringle. We've got it in the garage freezer. We're excited to unveil it for the holidays. You can purchase that, or everyone's favorite in our house is almond. That's the number one ranked. That's the Jerry in the Prairie of the Kringle
raspberry.
In our house.
Raspberry.
We will do our headline. No, we did our. We're doing our headlines later. We will do our Steinhoffel sleepers of the week.
Got a draw. We got a draw. Let's get a winner. Let's get a trivia winner.
Jesse, do you have do you have the poker chips? Because I don't hear.
No, I've been busy the entire commercial break.
What do you mean you've been busy?
See that? That's rich. Stop that. Getting sultry over there. Thelma Lou.
I was just gonna say, what are you, Thelma Lou? Unzipping. We'll draw our winner and we'll do our Steinhoffel Sleepers of the Week next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, brought to you by Grassland Butter. Grassland Dairy is Wisconsin. Learn more at grasslandbutter.com.
Breaking news from Matt LaFleur's press conference. He is at the podium currently. And as some on the panel predicted, Matt LaFleur says Josh Jacobs will practice today in a limited fashion. Quoting Matt LaFleur now via Rob Domofsky on Twitter. Quote, it sounds like he's feeling pretty good.
Good. So, it's real good.
Josh Jacobs, obviously very important to what the Packers do, regardless of what Josh DiMaggio might think. Jesse, are you ready to draw today's or this week's trivia winner before we get to our Steinhoffel Sleepers of the Week?
I am, and a quick reminder as I do so.
Wilde and Tausch Trivia is brought to you by Cousin Subs. Purchase $30 worth of Cousin Subs gift cards this month and receive a certificate for a 7.5-inch sub. And by Iron Jock, performance apparel that actually performs. No stink, just performance. And proudly Wisconsin built. Shop now at ironjock.com.
This is the sound that everyone hates, but Tausch's, it actually is pretty similar.
Thank you very much. Thank you. But I'm letting bygones be bygones.
Yes, let bygones be bygones and let Kurt in Monroe on a Wisconsin Geography Perfect Wednesday be our trivia winner this week. Nicely done, Kurt in Monroe.
Nice job, Kurt. Who won the Tumblr caller two, whatever we ended up going with?
That was Michael in East Troy. Congratulations
to
Michael
in
East Troy.
Yeah, nice job.
All kinds of winners on Wilde and Tausch.
People really win on Wilde and Tausch. Now it's time. I understand that Tausch has... I don't know what exactly where we stand on the Steinhoffel Sleepers of the Week in terms of judgment and who wins and who doesn't.
AFC Analytics just tweeted that we're all tied.
Exactly. With four games to play in the regular season, 26 points for all three of us. Tausch doesn't trust their work, even though...
No, we never remotely close to hired them. 565 was hired, and then they were... I guess you could say unceremoniously let go. And they have taken, just like Costanza, that girlfriend of his in the one episode, they don't take no for an answer. They have kept fighting, and I respect the resiliency of whatever this new firm is called.
Who do you – because, like, this is crunch time, 4 weeks to go. Who do you want to judge our playoff run? Like, it's fantasy football playoff weeks across the land. This could be our Steinhoffel Sleeper of the Week playoff run. We're all in contention. Who do you want to be the official arbiter for the final four games of the season?
Well, Gerriott has done a good job with what is that? Hey, what's that going on back there? There's noise. Gerriott did a great job. When he was I don't know if he's part of this Richmond deal too. I don't know who else is.
You fired him from 565.
I did. I let him go. I didn't fire him. I let him go. I don't know. What are you shrugging for?
You didn't fire him. You let him go.
Yeah. Yeah. I never really hired him.
Do you think he felt, do you think he felt that he was just simply let go from his volunteer job? Given the reaction Gerriott delivered with rebranding the company without you and continuing to volunteer?
Yeah.
He felt like he was let go.
I don't know. Unfortunately, a lot of times I love exit interviews. I think they're important. We couldn't figure that piece of it out. So I'm going to I don't know, Jesse, I've washed my hands of it. I'm just going to continue to put my Steinhoffers out there, and we'll let the chips fall where they may.
That's so lame. It's just lame.
Well, what do you want me to say? I don't have a team. I fired the team, and then they just rebirthed it, and they're putting it out there, and you're giving it credence. I don't know what else.
Do you want to have Vinny and the boys pick it in the morning on the morning news? Do you want to have Hunter pick it? Do you want to have Pablo come in and pick it? Do you want to have Jim, Matt, and Molly pick the winner?
No. If you fire people that volunteered out of the goodness of their dumb old hearts, you don't get to choose who decides. He's done. He's out. It's over. AFC Richmond Analytics will continue to be the official arbiter of the winner or the loser of each week's Steinhoffel Sleepers of the Week, and it is time now to choose them. Don't sleep,
you gotta stay up. Hey there, sleepyhead. Wakey, wakey.
Okay, campers, rise and shine.
It's time for the Steinhoffel Sleepers of the Week on Wilby and Tausch.
It is time for the Steinhoffel Sleepers of the Week, and Tausch goes first.
Yeah, I had a couple of names that were jumping out at me. A tight end. I think this could be a big play-action pass game. Not going to go Musgrave because I'm just not. And even with that glowing report you just gave of Josh Jacobs that he's going to practice, he's feeling better, and the odds of him playing seem to have ticked up a little bit when Matt LaFleur just gave his little presser, I'm going to go back to Emmanuel Wilson. I think he's going to get the lion's share of the carries. And I think he's going to have a good afternoon. A good enough to propel me in what is a very tight, according to the new analytics firm that I have nothing to do with. I think Emmanuel Wilson's going to be my Steinhoffel's sleeper of the week.
Indeed, you have nothing to do with them because you fired them. Jesse, who are you taking?
I want to go on the defensive side of the ball because I think this is going to come down, as you guys both said, to forcing turnovers and some big defensive plays. So the question is, who will that be? And I'm going to go with, I want to go with someone up front, but I don't know who could have the biggest impact based on what the Broncos do. So I'm going to go Colby Wooden. Colby Wooden is going to be my Steinhoffel sleeper of the week. You know, if he comes up with a big play, forces a turnover,
force a fumble,
sounds like a win to me. So, let's go with it.
I am working on a story about how the tight ends have all kind of found their niche in the offense now.
Except for Chipotle Ben. He didn't.
No, he is not. No. Wonder how he's doing. Got to check his stats with the Minnesota Vikings. I am going to take my guy Fitzy, John Fitzpatrick.
That's a good pick.
See if he gets an opportunity to do something positive in this one. I can tell you this. This is very positive. This season, you can bring home the joy with Steinhoffel's 12 Days of Christmas sale. Right now, save 10% or more throughout the store, and you can pay later with 18-month 0% financing. Plus, check out incredible holiday deals like a queen mattress for just $299 and sofas and queen beds for only $399. Get more holiday for less during Steinhoffel's 12 Days of Christmas sale. You can shop in-store or online anytime at steinhoffels.com. And if you want to get a few more decorations for your holiday parties, like we're hosting one on Saturday, tomorrow, Steinhoffels has great decor to go along with all the great furniture and beds and dinettes and everything else you might need. Check out steinhoffels.com to find out more. The 11 o'clock hour of Wilde and Tausch starts in 2 minutes, so stick around.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.